Honesty works well, but honesty and self-criticism are not the same thing. Honesty is just being straightforward about what actually happened, and maybe you didn't put your trade right. We've talked about being graciously imperfect on this program, about learning how to be graciously imperfect, and I've noticed that people who are particularly they have that thing where they're constantly judging themselves, comparing themselves to others, that kind of thing. They tend to get very angry at themselves if they have a few little bumps in the road along the way, even if along the way means in the first couple of minutes worth of trading, they've had a couple of trading losses. With all due respect to the questioner, grow up, because that isn't who you really are. That self-critical state, that down mood, that whole thing that overcomes you is a bad habit. It's not a person. It's a bad habit. It's something that you've acquired, and you are playing it like a record, like a radio station plays all the hits. And so I could give you all kinds of advice, but I think the best advice I would give you is to see for yourself, and I may get you all wrong here, so with all, you know, I want to make sure that I'm not accusing you, but I do want to tell you that I've seen plenty of people who have, in their own day-to-day existence, ordinary daily life, they're very self-critical, and they're very easily hurt by making a small mistake in life and that kind of thing. If that happens to apply to you, that isn't a trading problem. That's a problem that is a bad habit that you've accumulated over time out of fear of other people telling you who you are through these accidents, other people downgrading you, giving you a C. Well, I thought I had a B for you. I'm going to give you a C. You think the world's judging you and grading you and all that stuff. That type of mentality does not do well in trading, and I would ask you to watch and see if you're doing that yourself, and that the mere act of watching it will slowly begin to dislodge its power over you. The only reason it has a power over you is because you fall asleep at the wheel and it tells you to be angry. It tells you to be depressed after the second trade. It isn't that two trades is magic. That's just magic for you. That just means when you hit two trades, suddenly you fall into depression. I don't. Maybe Rob doesn't, but that's you. So it's a conditioned thing. It's something you can see beyond and break through. I would not fight this as I would fight a person in a bar room, which I tend to do. No, I'm just joking. I wouldn't fight it as I fight a person. I would be much more clever about it and watch the animal at work. See how it thinks, because it's doing this for you. And also check your other area of your life, because the way you live your other part of your life is very often how you live your trading life. And if you're doing a lot of negative and self-critical, and which all comes from fear, in another area of your life, well, you tend to bring that over into your trading. And that may be what's happening to you here. So don't, you know, people have asked me, well, how do I do that? How do I do that? Let me tell you something. I've said this before. The how-to is the never. That means if I tell you how-to, you'll never do it anyway. There isn't a how-to. When you really want to stop doing something, you just stop. As soon as you say how to do it, that just gives you more delay and time to keep doing it. So you can snap out of it anytime you really want to, and the way you get to the point where you really want to is you can actually watch it in motion, see it, not criticize it, not judge it, and realize this. If you happen to be the person I'm talking about where you're critical of yourself because you know you think other people are grading you, that's a very, very hollow way to live a life. And you bring that hollowness to trading. You're going to bring that hollowness to some other area of your life. You need to transcend that, because there's no magic number of trades that makes you stop trading in a day. If you have a setup, if you know what you're doing, go do that in the markets and do it every day. Today is not the last day. Rob said the markets are going to be here tomorrow. Live that life. Get out of this hypnosis that two trades is this magic number. It isn't. What is really happening in you is perhaps the fear of self-criticism because of how you think you're supposed to look in other people's eyes. You're supposed to be able to turn around and say to the world, I won at trading. And if you can't do that, you feel depressed. Why don't you forget about the rest of the world? Watch this bad habit at work, because that's all it is. It's a habit. It's not actually you. Watching it will break it off slowly over time. And then you'll say, you know what? I don't like being dictated to by this bad habit. And now you can start trading, and it doesn't matter what the wins and losses are. You're not playing the game that you're playing now, perhaps. That would be my answer.
All right, very good. Now, Rob, for the first time in ages, Michael's away and I have a lot of balls in the air, plate spinning. For the first time in ages, I forgot to turn the recorder on. till about halfway through you guys answering this question. So you get a chance to redo yours. I really like the way you did the 15-second version and the 60-second version. And again, the question is, and it's, and although one trader who emailed me today is doing good in all areas, and he expressed this concern, this is something I hear almost daily, guys. So I don't want to make light of this, because those who have been trading for a long period of time can maybe put this in its place a little easier than someone who is actually working towards trading for a living. So, David, I think your response was very good, and Rob, yours was too.
Thanks.
So I'm going to let me rephrase the question that came to me. Hey, I'm doing really good with my trading, except on the days when I get stopped out on the first two trades. It just totally takes the wind out of my sails, and I can't seem to overcome that. Rob, if you would give us your answer one more time with the recorder going, please.
Well, the short version is, remember that it's just two trades, and a lot of people do a lot worse, and you come back, and you get back on track, and you just face the market the next day. And I have, and personally, I take those two trades, whether they're losses or the wins, and that's my limit for the day. Number two, the expanded answer is you ask three questions. Number one, did my trade size remain constant? Am I keeping my risk at a constant level that I have agreed to keep? That's number one. Protection of the account is always number one. Number two, did I follow the principles or rules that I outlined in my trading plan in the first place, whether it's a trading plan on the back of your hand, in the back of your head, written on your heart, or on a note card, or you have a full trading plan inside of a binder at your desk? Yes, it's a yes or no question. If you can't answer yes or no, if it's a maybe, then it's a no on either one of those questions. Not a maybe or it was close to, it's a yes or a no. There are some things that are just yes or no questions. And then number three, if it's a no to either of the first two questions or both of them, you stop trading for an indeterminate amount of time until you speak to someone about what happened and you clarify what the conditions were by which you lost on those two trades, and then you make a plan that's tailored to you with the advice of someone you trust to only come back to the market when you can agree to and be accountable for your agreement to never break those first two principles at all. So that's the short and the long answer, Dwayne.
Very good. So that's the beautiful thing about truth. You don't have to remember what you said. You just say it again.
I don't remember anything I ever said.
The truth shall set you free.
Well,
yeah, what a rookie thing to forget to turn the recorder. I haven't done that in a long time, but it happens. We're all
don't
human.
Be too self-critical.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like being stopped out twice in a row, except I just forgot
right.
to turn the recorder on. But I understand the angst behind that question because, I mean, literally everything else is going really well. It's starting to make sense, man. You're looking at the market and multiple time frames, and you know where we are on the daily, on the hourly, and you're using a smaller time frame to execute your entry. And man, you just get, I mean, everything is as it should be. All the stars are aligned, and you get whacked in the head with a 2x4, not once, but twice. And you're like, what did I do wrong? And the answer is you did nothing wrong. The market is a never-ending flow of opportunity. And the results of any given trade are based upon when you stepped into the flow. If you step into the flow at the appropriate time facing the proper direction, you'll catch your 2 points or whatever it is you're looking to accomplish in that trade. If your timing is a bit off. Now, you might say, well, according to my indicators, my timing was not off. Okay, that's fine. But your timing with the flow of opportunity was off. Oh, well, how can I change that? You can't. Stop looking, stop trying. Because that's what makes people crazy. Don't try to fix that which you could argue isn't broken or that which cannot be fixed. So thank you guys both for your response.
Of course.
And I know that our listener and our trader will be very appreciative. And he is someone who thinks long and deep, and he will take your answers to heart. And together as a community, we will work through this situation.
Very true.
All right, guys. I'm going to head out to the streets of New Orleans to get into some trouble. And
okay.
I will talk to you.
I got somebody that wants to know, you're going to be in the Atlanta area?
I am. On Thursday afternoon all the way through to Friday morning.
Okay. And people can email you, rob@robbooker.com, correct?
That's correct.
All right.
Absolutely.
Email him, guys, and hook up with him. Go break bread. Make him pay.
Yeah. That's right. You make me pay. That's no problem.
He's got a paycheck with a comment now that he's on his radio program, so you make him pay for that lunch. All right.
All right, Rob.
Oh,
see you soon.
Did you get the Chicago business sorted out?
I'm going to get that sorted out as in the moments after I speak to you.
Well, you got to wait till the market closes because he's on the floor and he's busy.
All right.
So let the market close and then call him.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
See you, Rob.
Be safe out there.
Bye-bye.
Whatever that means. All right.
Whatever that means, yeah.
Yeah. All right, David, here we sit, hovering at 1567 on the S&P 500 E-mini futures. We have broken through. It took 3 hours. We've broken through resistance at 61.62. Now we've got our sights set on the next zone overhead, 75.76, which is, interestingly enough, where we started the week. Sunday night, we had a tweet to get short below 78, add to the position below 75. We hit our lowest weekly zone. We've bounced. We've taken out resistance. We're on our way to turning the week around. David, on the S&P, that's where we're at. What do you got?
Well, you know, our outlook is that, first of all, we had a tremendous decline, and this was useful in the technical sense for the market because the market needs sometimes to correct. It's actually a good thing, and this market hasn't had a decent correction really since back in February. So we've had this runaway bull market. In reflected wave, we have a bottom that would be due on April 16th. It came one day early. So this is likely going to continue, even if it doesn't continue a whole lot higher today. It's a multi-day bounce off of the bottom, which came one trading day early yesterday in terms of timing. So this is a multi-day advance that we'd be looking for. And I like the idea that expresses that we're not done yet with the longer-term uptrend. I would like to – I'm just going to keep saying that until it's really obvious that we are done or that the market reaches some level that is inherently going to be fabulously difficult for it to get through. So how they handle this advance will be important in our work to see if this is that area, you know, if we're already at a point where it would be difficult to get through. But normally, even if we had to pull back for a few days – again, normally this advance would take us up even into the 80s again. Not necessarily, of course, today, but we would have a multi-day or even multi-week advance up into the 80s or higher, and that would be the object of any new trade that we would take. Now, because the market came in one day early, they tested some important levels and it began immediately up here today, this was not my particular kind of trade for just loading the boat and being long, although I'm sure we have people in our group that have done that based on reflected wave on its own. But it depends on how comfortable you are trading. And one other thing about the question the guy asked, a lot of grief or anguish can be solved by just knowing your rules and following them and knowing that if you did take a loss, you did what you were supposed to do. A lot of times, if we do something a little bit different or we sort of fool around a little bit, mm-hmm. we might feel worse about the loss because we secretly kind of know we didn't really follow the rules that we ourselves had laid out. And why are rules important? Rules are not important unless they're based upon principles that you've understood to be important. What's a rule? It's just an idea. But if you have created a rule or you've learned a system that has rules that was based upon something valuable and insight that is deep enough to hold water across a large period of time in the market, then yes, you should be following those rules as best as you can to trade in the markets. And you'll feel much better, if I can, you know, use better in quotes, about having to potentially take a loss on an individual trade if you have followed the rules. Because one of the things I find I say to myself is that I did everything I was supposed to do. I did that was my trade. And often I will even say that was my best work. Even though it was a loss, that was my best work. Because I did everything as I was supposed to do. My best understanding was put to work in that trade. And in that particular trade, it didn't work out. And that's just how it goes. And then, of course, we use risk management because part of my rules are that I understand human nature enough to know my own human nature, to speak about myself, to know that I do have a point at which if the market gets past a certain point, I can't get out of that position on my own. It's too far against me. I know that. Do you know that? You don't know that if you're a person that routinely doesn't use risk management. And I've said this before on the radio, and I'll say it again. If you don't use risk management, you're not trading. You're gambling.
That's right.
Because risk management is the act, is part and parcel to the edge that you have in trading. Risk management isn't a punishment. It's an edge. It's an advantage that you have to be able to say, I'm out right here. Boom. You can't do that in most other investments, but you're going to throw that away in this investment, in this trading. You want to throw away the risk management, something that very few people in other investments have where they can just snap their fingers and be out of it without any complication. We have that ability here. That's an edge. It's not a punishment. So we twist our things around in our mind, and before you know it, risk management becomes the punishment of trading. It isn't. It's the edge that you have. It's one of the edges that you have. You need every edge you can get to do this properly. So just to recount on what I said before, that's something that's very important to me, is I want to do the right thing in every trade according to the rules and principles as I've understood them. And when I do that, I feel really good about putting the trade on. And if it doesn't work, and even if I've told people to get in that trade, because that's even the double whammy, you tell somebody else to get in that trade and you end up wrong, I can stand tall if I happen to be wrong. If somebody comes back to me, we have the institutional people, and they said, well, hey, you know, you said to go long here. Yeah, I did. And that was my best work. Everything I had gave me that indication. And that's the fact. That is the fact.
That right there, what you said is critical, because you, years later, all that you've been through, you can say that. And then when it doesn't work out, with confidence, you can go, yeah, you're right. I did say go long. That was my best work. And hey, the market went the other way.
Yeah,
but
that's
for
all.
Someone who is relatively new to trading, for someone who's, you know, trying to get their sea legs, if you will, that person.
Boy, that's an old saying. That's an old saying. Nobody knows that except you and me, Dwayne. I just want to let you know that.
Okay.
That's brilliant. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So that person is questioning, was that my best work? I don't know if that was my best work. I think it might be, but I'm not sure.
Do you know what your best work is?
Yeah.
Do you even know it?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Your best work isn't every time you win. That's not your best work. Your best work is following what you understand in the market. That's your best work.
Yes.
Win, lose, or draw.
Yes. Yes.
That's your best work. Don't just come to me and say, I did my best work just because you won. That's not your
you
best
know,
work.
People
that just
a,
happens.
On a
Go
good,
ahead.
On a good day, David, when someone new comes in and starts in the mentoring program, begins the training process, starts to come to the meetings and watch the videos, on a really good day, they come to me, they email me, they call me, whatever the case might be. They're very excited. They're very pumped up. Man, I'm really catching it. I'm really getting the hang of this. I'm just totally nailing it, you know. And they're really excited. And Lord knows I hate to rain on their parade.
Yeah.
But I, right then and there, I say, okay, I'm really happy for you. Calm down. Okay, because there's two sides to this coin. And well, what do you mean? I followed the setup. I did, and a bing, da bang, da boom, and you know, and I'm up X number of points or ticks on the day, and all is right with the world, and you know, my wife's even prettier than when I married her, and I think I'm a couple inches taller. No, you're not. Okay, and the thing is you stepped into the flow of opportunity. Your timing was immaculate, okay? Can you match that tomorrow? I don't know. You have to focus on what you can control, okay? And what you said, David, where you call them rules or you call them principles, but your rules are based upon principles, things that you've observed in the market that repeat themselves over and over and over. Like this weekly trading zone down here, our lowest weekly zone for the week. The price went down there, turned around, and went back up. That's something I happen to understand about the market. There's an awful lot I don't understand about the market. So my best work has to be based upon what I do understand today, not that I won't understand more tomorrow. Hopefully I will, but I cannot be on this constant hunt, this chase, this Googling till my fingers bleed, trying to find the perfect guru, the perfect indicator, the perfect time frame that is going to prevent me from ever knowing the anguish of being stopped out twice in a row again at the beginning of the day. Because nothing, nowhere, no way, no how can ever completely remove that from your trading. It is a part of trading. And the sooner you're able to accept that, deal with that, and not let it knock the wind out of your sails. And each person is going to have to reconcile that within themselves in some kind of unique manner. But that spot right there, you've identified that place where the rubber meets the road for you. This is where you mature as a trader. This is where you either become a trader who trades for a living, or you return to your previous life and or go on to do some other great and wonderful thing. There are other things in the world other than being a trader. As desperately as all of us who are here today listening to this radio program want to be traders, it may not be in the cards for us. It just, you know, the first time Mike Reed ever said those words to me, I took great offense. I was wounded. My spirit was hurt. But after thinking about his words for a few days, I said, okay, I can accept that. Now let's go find out if I am or if I'm not. And that was some 7 years ago, 6 years, 5 years ago, five, 6 years ago. So we each come to that crossroads. And for you, it may not be getting stopped out twice. It may be some other thing that you have to overcome. But what David said about, and I back this up 100%, have your principles, your rules, your methodology, follow it to the letter time and again. And just because you get stopped out, don't start questioning. Because I tell people, when you write your business plan, when you write your trading plan, take a month to do it. Don't do it in an afternoon, because what you're writing down, what you're committing to, this is how you're going to live your life as a trader. Don't put something down that you can't honor and live up to trade after trade after trade. And if you don't believe that it's a truth about the market, don't put it down. Don't say, I'm going to, you know, stop after this many because that guy said so. Or, I believe that if the market does this and this, then that's going to happen. Why? Because you've seen it happen? Or because some guy in a book or on a radio program or on a podcast said that's what he does or what he believes? Well, who knows if what he sees or believes or said or believes is grounded in truth? Maybe he heard it from some other knucklehead on a podcast. Who heard it from some other guy on a podcast who actually read it in the book? And there's no truth in it at all. Think about that. Is that frightening or is that comforting that you yourself can go find the truth?
So, imagine that's one last little bit on it, then we'll move on. Imagine a company comes out with a commercial, and in the first week they get a good response from the commercial. They've, you know, their product, whatever it is, they sell a lot of their product. And then the next week, not so many people come in, and would they suddenly run up and say, hey, there's something wrong with the commercial? Well, the commercial's right. It people like it, but it just so happens that maybe on that second week, there's just not that many people watching that program. There's just God knows what it is. Some other fluctuation in life has dented their flow for a little bit. And then weeks after that, the commercial goes back to working well. It'd be like that. You want to find something that works and realize that even though it does work, it will have its fluctuations as well. It doesn't make it wrong. There's nothing wrong with experimentation, and I always do encourage people to experiment and to think outside the box. In fact, do you even know the box so that you could think outside of it? That's a question you might want to ask yourself. Do you know the box so that you might be able to then say, I'm going to work on thinking outside the box?
Because it might, with some careful introspection, you might find out you're working inside a paper sack. It's not even a box.
That's right. Hey, this isn't even a box. What are we doing here?
Paper and plastic. I thought it was a box.
All right. So with regard to the S&P, we, you know, we're looking to, let's move on from this. We still are in the belief that we're in a runaway bull market in spite of the decline, and that we're looking for a multi-day sideways to up movement here. And there is a possibility that if we do go down a little bit lower, that's going to actually set up an even better trade. If they don't give that to us, that's fair enough. But we also have a number up here for this is one of those coincidental setups where we have a level up here that's important in our work as well at 66 and 67. And the market hasn't had much of a reaction off of this level here. They may need to see higher prices later today, but they're very quiet right now. I'd give them a little time. One thing I would say about today's session that may be useful later is if we do get back below either on hourly close or just the break of, you know, something where it looks like, yeah, they're really pushing back below the 63, 62 level, I would go short for a decline and retest of 56. Now, they did touch 56 earlier today, but I think there's a trade not forecasting that the market is going to break 63, 62, but if they did break that, then I would short the market for a test of the 56 level late today. Possibly it might require an overnight into early tomorrow to complete that. But it still would give you, if they, as an example in this hour, if they sold off and did break those levels, especially closing on an hourly or 30-minute below those, then that sets you in position for a decline, even if by the time the day ends, you don't have the full decline. You still have something there that you can book. And one last thing about the whole subject is don't take this so seriously. Be lighthearted about this. Be light-spirited about trading. You can't be light-spirited about it if you've quit all your other sources of income and are trying to throw it all in for this. That makes it much heavier on you. You're putting an awful lot of, I think, unnecessary pressure on yourself to do or die. I would not suggest, and I do not suggest that people do that. I would suggest that you just live your ordinary life, look at the markets, be fascinated by them, get into them, do whatever course or whatever thing you want to do to learn. And then as you improve in your skills, you will know naturally, very easily, without having to take any special leaps, that, you know what, I kind of get this, and I think I can, you know, work a few less hours a week at my other job. I can do a little more here, and so on. And then you'll know how to do it. But I would never suggest to somebody to interrupt any other source of income or livelihood to do this until you get to that point where you can say, hey, you know, I get this. I think I can do this, including the losses. I can take it all. I get it, and I think I can work with it.
Yeah,
don't
never,
split it into a bunch of little camps. Just take it all in. Go ahead, Wayne.
We never suggest ever that someone quit their day job to become a day trader. But also, we also recognize that not everyone is in the unique situation or has the luxury of saying, well, I'm going to keep doing my job and I'm going to watch the markets. Most people, if they get up and go to it, now, if you own the company, maybe you can hole up in your office and look at the markets for a while. But if you're the guy on the production line, you're not watching the markets while you do your other job because you might get your finger chopped off. So some mm-hmm. people find themselves in a situation where as much as they want to be a trader, they have to keep food on the table. They have to keep cash flowing. That mortgage still has to get paid. And so it does become a risky proposition when someone steps out of that day job and says, hey, I'm going full time. That's why we've instituted a program. We're just breaking ground on it now, where those with day jobs can train at night and trade in the early hours pre-market as a way of bridging that gap between the ordinary, regular workaday life and becoming a trader. Because again, a lot of folks just don't have the luxury of having X amount of dollars in the bank so that they can approach this with sort of a casual attitude. They have to buckle down and kind of get serious about it. So, I mean, trust me, guys, I'm aware of that. And that's why we, Michael and I, both work all the hours that we work and avail ourselves to you more hours per day than we should, so many hours that our wives are beyond frustrated that we spend more time with the traders than we do with the family. But we know your struggle, and we're doing our very best to help you, but you have to make that hard decision as to what's right for you. And again, never ever will you hear on this radio program or on our blog, quit the day job, become a day trader. And I know that some of you want to hear the opposite. You want that encouragement to go full time. That has to come from you and from within, based upon your own experience and your own successes. It won't ever come from this side of the desk, unfortunately.
Right. Another positive way of spinning this is that I myself have met a number of people through our Reflected Wave seminars that I actually know they could trade for a living. I've seen enough. I know they know what they're doing. But it's not for me to tell them, go quit your job and do it. They'll know on their own. But I've met people who I know can do it. I know they can do it. There's no question in my mind. They get it. They see it. They're even almost poetic in their way of describing what's going on in the market. And so I really know they've captured it. They own it. And I would still, even under those conditions, I would not say to them, I think you're good enough to quit your job and go trading. They'll go figure that out for themselves. I'm thinking of a particular person right now. They'll figure it out on their own easily. And when the time is right for them. And they'll come to that, and they'll do it. But that's even on the positive side of somebody else saying, from my perspective, I recognize they have what it takes, and they're able to do it, and they still haven't quit their job. I would still not step in and say to them, go ahead and quit your job. I would just say, hey, you know what? You really got it going on. You know, that's it. You're doing really well. It's fantastic to talk with you, see what you're doing. That's great. You've come a long way. You know, all kinds of things like that. But I'm not going to say, you know, drop everything else and go day trading. This will come to them on their own, and it's for them to make their decision. And when they make that decision, it'll probably be based on realistic facts rather than hopes.
Yeah.
There's a big difference there.
And you know what's kind of a realistic expectation, but yet it isn't because of the nature of this beast, is somebody could come to me and go, okay, look, I've got enough money put aside that I can not only pay for training, I can fund an account with a reasonable amount of money, whatever that may be, and I can also cover all of my bills, okay, for 6 months. But, you know, I'm going to quit my job where I have a benefits package and I've got tenure or whatever it is, you know, 401k retirement, whatever. And I have to say, whoa, hang on. But what happens in 6 months? Well, in 6 months, then I'll be, you know, making enough money to support my lifestyle from my trading. Mm-hmm. How do you know that? Well, because I'm going to take your course. Well, wait a minute. Okay. We have a course, and I think it's a very fine course, and we have some very fine indicators, but there's no guarantee that. And then they go, well, wait a minute. You're trying to tell me that if I focus on this and work really hard for 6 months, are you going to tell me there's a chance that I might not be able to make X amount of dollars per week at that point? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. And it's not just my course and my indicators. It's any course and any indicators. And anybody that promises you anything otherwise, you should run and possibly report them to the authorities as you're running away from them, because you're going to hand off a career with benefits and health and paid vacations and all these other kinds of things that you might have for the unknown. Now, granted, in any endeavor in life, you know, what is it? Fortune favors the brave, and sometimes you got to take a shot, and sometimes you got to put it all on the line. You know, I've seen the movie Cinderella Man. I understand that, but I just think that sometimes people come into this with they come in with the wool pulled over their eyes. So I'm just trying to pull that wool off your eyes, and I think David is trying to do the exact same thing and say, you know, you can go to school for 2 years and get some kind of a degree and be an HVAC guy, certified, and your chances of getting a job, especially in Phoenix, Arizona, are probably really, really good because everybody needs air conditioning. But spending 6 months in training as a trader to say that the average trader makes X amount of dollars. You can't say that. The average HVAC guy, I'm sure there is an average salary for that guy after 2 years at some kind of vocational training school, I guess. But trading is a very different and unique and wily critter. Far wilier than Wile E. Coyote. So, let's move on.
Let's move on. Let's see. Real quick, we'll take a quick zip around here because we're running a little bit probably late on time. But
gold.
Real quick, you know, we had the big move in gold on the downside here. This, of course, is a dramatic development in the gold market. It's absolutely, I believe, changes. It changes the market. It has changed it in a very short period of time. Look how fast the down moves occur. And I've seen very fast up moves, but down moves are very, very fast. Look how fast in 2 days we took hundreds of points out of the market. We've talked on the radio recently about, you know, there's going to be $100 days here in the gold market. Here we are. And isn't it funny also that we now have the first act of terrorism that we've had in quite some time that comes somewhat coincidentally with the bottom that we just, you know, short term or otherwise in the gold market here, where we had the bounce. Now, in terms of for those people who may be in gold, a couple things I just want to repeat. It's likely we're going to see a lower low than whatever the low we make this quarter in next quarter. Next quarter is likely going to make a lower low than the one that they made in this quarter. That's for starters. But between now and then, one of the numbers you can keep an eye on, I think that's important, is 1332. If we close weekly, monthly, and otherwise, I guess monthly would be the biggest, above 1332, that actually is a stronger position for gold, and that's helpful, that's constructive for the bottom that would be put in later to help the market then have a more important rally. So although we are definitely in a breakout mode and we're on the downside and we're simply rallying today, we're going to keep an eye on the 1332 level in terms of weekly and monthly closing periods. And is there something magical about the close? Not really magical, but the market tends in a way to show its hand one way or the other often with regard to how they settle on a given period. So I think it's important to keep an eye on that. And this number is one that is very related to this market. So we're going to keep an eye on that. Other than that general kind of statement, I don't have much to add to it right now. But I do believe, as I said before, that we are likely to see lower prices in the following, which would mean the third quarter of this year, even if it's just a little bit lower. And we'll talk about all of this as we continue on in watching gold and you know, trading and maneuvering it and so on. some people do look at gold as a hedge against inflation and the dollar going down and so on. And my trading partner has a portion of his way of thinking that this is not just a trade, but that it is a hedge against the dollar. It's really a bet against money, so to speak. You're protecting yourself against what happens to money. And that's okay. That's okay. I think of this more of as a trade, and he thinks of it a little bit more as a hedge for a larger portfolio that we trade. But between you and I think he gets married to positions. How are you doing? That's what I think. All right. Let's just move on. Hope he's not listening. All right. Let's scoot along over to the bond market. Real quick, in the bonds, I believe that we're going to still see somewhat higher prices, including 149 on the upside. You know the history of this. We had the February reflective wave bottom. We're in a multi-month advance off that, so we think higher prices are coming. I don't have any specific trade to give out here. And you may have noticed people said you're not giving out as many specific trades, and that is correct because we're spending a lot more time in our meetings and so on with the institutional. And you can understand, I hope, that because they're involved in this, they're committed to it. I can't give out everything that I give out in that room on live radio. Like in the old days, it was really good because we could just lay it all out. Here's exactly, you know, buy here, sell here, do this, do that. But after a while, After doing that for 7 years, it attracted attention. But now that we're giving this out under a subscription basis, a lot of this stuff I can't. But when I can, I do and I will give out important information, like what I just gave out on the S&P with regard to later today. That's something because that's not something that was given to them. It may not happen, but it's a very, very high, high, high probability that what I told you earlier will happen if the market breaks that level. So
we haven't made up our mind yet, folks, but the future of the show is leaning towards either gardening tips or
right.
recipes. We haven't decided yet since we can no longer...
Oh, no, wait a minute. And I'd like at least a one-day-a-week show on shoe repair, which I think is a new fascination for many people, how to repair their own shoes. All right. Let's move on that. we did give out yesterday in our... I can tell you this. In the institutional meeting, and some of you have come to that. I know some of the listeners come. We gave out that the euro... if the euro can break out above the 131.45 level, that they'll run right up to 132.14 as an initial target. So today we've made a high so far of 132.06. They've gotten pretty close to that. This is a single-day trade. They did the breakout today. The market... This is kind of inversion-y. This is kind of like, hey, they really shouldn't be doing this, and that's why I like it, because surprise is actually easier to trade than the setup that kind of like everybody sees. Surprise is the stuff that most people are afraid to trade. And later, when you get into trading more, you'll see that's the truth, that surprise is easier to trade than ordinary setups, A. And B, you'll find yourself more and more willing and actually excited about trading surprise, even though that surprise surprises you. Of course it does. That's why it is a surprise. If it didn't surprise you, it would be an ordinary setup. So once you see and learn about surprise, meaning that the market does something that it really shouldn't do, those setups tend to be easier to maintain your position because the market tends to chug along in the direction. And even if it's not chugging along, it's not going backwards either. It sort of tends to really go in a particular direction. And that's what today's euro is doing. So we think that price is the initial, you know, at or near the 14 level, which we've come with at about 8 ticks of it. That level is the first place that we would want to take profits from the breakout from 131.45. Having said that, and having said that it's surprise, I believe that higher prices are also going to be coming, higher than just that. That's just an initial target. That's a safe place that we can say, hey, this is where we're going to get a lead in this position. Then we're going to start, you know, playing risk management and doing all the right things. So success is a series of right decisions. Many of those right decisions include risk management, including taking positions off, taking a loss, breaking even, taking profits on the way to on larger targets, and so on. All of those are right decisions. There's nothing wrong with being wrong. There's something wrong with staying wrong, especially when you're in the markets. So, you know, one last thing about that subject, about staying wrong. You ever notice that people who, and this has happened to me and it's happened to everybody, human nature is that you get more feisty about your outlook. You know, some, no, I think that's right. I'm going to stick to my guns. And then you start, you know, coming up with all kinds of new reasons. If you see yourself fighting to convince yourself and others, if there was ever, God himself could not give you a clearer indication that you're wrong. Voices coming out of a burning bush wouldn't be any clearer to me than finding myself in a position where I'm arguing about how right I am when the chart says I'm wrong. I don't need God to speak to me through the bush in order for me to know that I'm wrong. I've seen it, and I know it. So if you catch yourself arguing about a position where the chart has shown you that you're wrong, and you're getting more and more intensely involved in saying, no, but it really is right, and this is, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you know, I don't have to say anymore. You're wrong. And that's what you have to get over. You have to transcend that and be able to be wrong so you can get into the next trade and so on. And live with yourself with all that. That's the whole thing, is just don't turn this into a nightmare. This isn't torture. Don't torture yourself, Gomez. That's my job. Adam's Family, 1966. Check it out. All right.
Ed's got a question for you on the dollar.
Okay.
Ready to go to the dollar?
Yeah, the dollar is the corollary, obviously, the backside to this, and I will be there in just a moment. Thank you for the question, Ed. Let me, because of the way my charts are set up, so let me just zip through a few other quick markets, and we'll go to the dollar on this. So this does mean for the dollar that the dollar would tend to want to go lower, absolutely, here, because this market wants to go higher.
The bottom's coming a day late. Looking for a bottom?
Okay, I'm going to suggest that the breakout on the euro is a reflected wave breakout. Okay. And I'm weighting that. I'm giving that more evidence or more weight. And that's the one we're trading. I chose not to trade the dollar. If you're a Williams Edge or for institutional thing, customer, you'll see that we don't have any report out on the dollar to trade it short. Now, it very well will probably continue to go down, but its signal is not as clear and as definable with principles as the euro is. So we selected the euro to trade. So I don't have a trade out for the dollar, even though I think it's likely, and it's highly likely, that as the euro continues higher, the dollar will continue lower. I would rather trade the one that looks the best. And this one looks pretty good to me, and I take the breakdown in the dollar today to be the same kind of surprise, and probably is going to be a breakout on reflected wave as well, although not one that looks like a breakout, not one that will trade easily and obviously as the euro did. So I would be careful interpreting at this point with the euro having broken out on the upside. I would be careful interpreting the dollar in any other way except lower prices for a little bit here. I'd be careful with that because of what the euro is doing. So I hope that's clear. And I would also like to say if Ed has anything else that he wants to say or ask about it, because it does go into some of the nuance and inner workings of reflected wave, he can call me directly here and I'll help him with that, because I want to make sure that it's clear enough, and it may not be from what I just said. We'll see if he calls. It's like parents with their kids. Yeah, we'll see if you call. You only call when you want money, All right. Let's see. So let's go over to crude oil. We've had a very nice rebound today in crude oil. A couple things I want to say about crude oil that we've talked about in our meetings. We originally had a roadmap way back in December that was a three-leg roadmap. It was a bottom due in roughly in December on the daily chart at or near 85, and advance then to 95 or higher into a January top, monthly January top. Then a decline of 10 points, a bounce, and then a continued decline all the way down to 78. Now, the first three of those four legs occurred, the move up to January, the move down approximately 10 points, and then the move up from that. Those three legs did occur. But the market then made an additional leg up, which threw us off and stopped us out of our original short position from much higher. So, having said that, for the last month or so, I've been scratching my head because I know the principle. I know how it plays out, but it played out somewhat unusually here. So where we are right now is we've now completed absolutely 10 points down. And we even got down to 86.80, which was a target that we'd given the institutional people yesterday to trade into for today, and they got there today. But the bigger picture is that the market is now 10 points down off of its original January high. So that means to me there's a possibility that we still have a much larger decline coming in crude oil. I don't know for certain because of the little extra sachet that they threw in there that we weren't expecting. And when I see something that I don't expect, unless I'm trading surprise, which I wasn't, I get out. That's what I do. And that does wonders for me because it allows me to forget about the trade, allows me to look at the market and think clearly, and then I go on to something else until the market makes sense to me. Well, just now with them going down to 86 and today's bounce, this is starting to look good to me again. And I just want to say we may have an additional move coming on the downside. Now that they've completed this 10-point move down, which is the original call, it's going to be very interesting for me. This is really fascinating to see how they play this out from here. And I'll talk a little bit more about it on the program as we get into the week and so on. Let's move past that. You know, we had the Aussie dollar high that we called for. This was reflected wave. We didn't call this. This is reflected wave. April 10th plus day came in on the 11th. They had a huge move down. And they also had a bottom due on the 16th, left the S&P, and they're bouncing today. These are all tradable things, but when they come in one day early, you have to be a little bit more aggressive to trade those, and some people are. Quickly over to Tesla Motors, the stock Tesla Motors. I'm still waiting for all the naysayers. I just wonder where they are. I'd like them to – is there a special room that I can go to on the Internet, Dwayne, where all the people who make gloom and doom forecasts go so that they can be addressed and say, well, you know, I'm just curious, what do you think now? Now that you've just done everything you could to destroy, badmouth, undermine everything that they're doing, now that they're up at all-time new highs on a major breakout on a monthly chart, I was just wondering, what's your forecast now? You know, or what do you think about your original call? Why don't you show up after your original call? How come you disappear? Why don't you show up?
My forecast is that the president's going to have to give him some more money.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I don't know. I don't know where those other guys are. I didn't know any of those guys. I wasn't even following the Tesla story when all that was happening. I only even knew about Tesla once you brought it up on the show.
I'm not accusing you.
No, I know. I just know that the president gave a man a horrific amount of money to go build an electric car. And
he did. He gave it to a bunch of other companies as well, many of which who are out of business.
This guy's done a little better with his share than some of the other, the Solyndra guys. I mean, they just, I don't know what they did with their money.
This guy sent a rocket to the space station on a loan from the government successfully, giving him the ability to license that to other companies, which is what he's doing. He's built a successful electric car company that has sold more electric cars last month than any company in the world because he's ramping up his production
shrimp.
And so on and so on and so on.
You're still saying jumbo shrimp.
I'm still saying no, I don't believe
he's,
so. I believe
sold
that
more electric cars than any other company. Well, okay, that's okay. I understand.
Well, you have to take everything at scale.
I understand.
You have to take everything at scale.
Drives a golf cart. I'm sorry, David. I forgot. Forgive me. No, I apologize. You drive an electric car, and you very much are in love with them and admire the technology. And I have nothing against it whatsoever. I think it makes good sense for the world, for the environment, for the economy. I'm a huge proponent of it. So.
Yeah. No, they sold about 4,000 of them or so last month. That's delivered, and that's a big number for a company to deliver. That's more than any other companies delivered last month, and he's probably going to do the same this month. And you have to realize that the market, you can't just compare it to the moon. You have to compare it to the market and market share, and given all that, he's ahead of the game in that game, in that pond. So, you know, the pond will grow as the market grows and so on. But this, again, I just want to remind people, these kinds of cars were around 100 years ago. Detroit Electric and some other companies made several thousand electric cars that people used to drive with whatever the electric technology was back then. So anyway, I'm just very happy to see a stock up. I mean, we really love the company and the stock, obviously, and the product as well. So we'll see how all this plays out over time. Real quick, let's move over to the dollar. Let's just review this one more time. the dollar today, of course, is down in a sense with the same fashion that the euro is up. I would not utilize today being at least on our system. This is a breakout on the dollar. So for Ed, and again, if he wants to, he's more than welcome to call me, and I'll show it to you. This is a breakout on the downside. This would mean lower prices are coming in the U.S. dollar. So this is a interesting development. So it is, actually, as I'm looking at it here, with regard to reflected wave, it is a breakout, and that is a powerful signal for lower prices. Okay, a couple other quick markets I'd like to address here.
Okay.
Cocoa, this was something we talked about a few days ago in our institutional meeting for higher prices. They're dramatically higher today. I won't go into all the details for that right now. There was one other market I think we wanted to talk about. British Pound is doing well. British Pound also had a important breakout the other day. So we'll continue to watch this. We're new to the British Pound, new in the sense that we don't make forecasts on it. But I'm keeping an eye on it, and it does seem to have pretty good movement, obviously, and today they've had a very good day up in response to all this. One other market that we're keeping an eye on is the natural gas market. Today they tested, we think 407, I'm just going to give it out, is very important for them to not touch. This is something that we've given out in our institutional stuff. They should not touch 407. Today's low is 408.4, and they firmed up on the day. They're up at 415. We'll continue to watch that. Sometimes what a market should not touch, and in many cases, is just as important as forecasting what it should. And this market, the natural gas, is, we think, is probably in a very strong position. And I think, Duane, that's probably everything we have for today. There's a few other stocks and things that we're following, but we'll save those for another time here. So that's the whole darn shooting match, and the S&P here is now pulled back and is testing a little bit lower prices here, very quiet, testing the 64 level. Keep in mind what we talked about earlier for the S&P today, and that might be of some use if they give us a tradable setup like that later today.
All righty, Dave.
And that's my portion of the show.
All right, man. Well, listen, thanks. So, have a great afternoon, and we'll see you.
Thank you very much for having me, Duane.
Back here.
And I'll come over and have jumbo shrimp with you sometime. How's that?
Okay. All right. We'll make Rob cook.
Yeah. Now, Rob should be the cook. I mean, the guy's, you know, he's quite a character. He's all over the world out there. You know, I don't know. He's probably having a good time.
He is.
Yeah, he is.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you guys tomorrow. Thanks for the questions. See ya.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for us. I may be back a little later, put on a trade or two, but I'm not sure. Things got to take care of, a couple phone calls I got to make. I got some emails to send out. Those of you interested in ordering the trading computer, go to the blog. Okay, the link's there. You can place your order. I'm going to send an email to I'm going to attempt to send an email to everyone that responded. If I miss you, I'm going to send a mass email with basically the same information that's on the blog. There's a 5-day build period, 2 to 4 days shipping. We're not going to do any outside advertising until after the 1st of May. That's to give everybody who's a partner and everybody who is a part of the CFRN family at large an opportunity to get their order in before the waiting list, you know, starts to back up. I don't know how long it'll get and how long it'll be, but anyway, this is your opportunity. If you have an interest in a trading computer, if you need one, you may have one, you may not need one, and that's fine. Just want to make it available to you guys first, okay? Now, the last tweet that we went out said to consider being long above 1570 if the opportunity presents. All right? If you look at the screen, see where it says check your tweeter? We had a swing high of 68.5, okay? Now, that 70 entry is based off of that swing high. Again, always trying to demystify the markets for you. Okay, that's the last thing you need, is to try to learn from someone who is trying to make it even more difficult to understand. So I'll always try to go in the opposite direction and do everything I can to demystify and clarify what's really going on. So the call to be long above 1570, it's not a magical thing at all. It is just the price action that's on the chart right here in front of us right now. No indicator, no nothing, just price, okay? Now, we do have some help on the chart. We have our weekly trading zones up there. That gives us some boundaries to work with. Yes, Keith, the line is at 69, but the tweet says 70. That's why it says check your tweeter, so you'll know the exact price. Now, we know that 61.62, you're welcome, the 61.62 below us has the potential to be good support. right? It took how many hours to break through this morning? One, two, and then finally in the latter part of the third hour, in fact, if you went down to smaller time frames, you could see that for the first half of this third hour, price did not get above 62. It was only in the closing part of that hour that it finally punched through, was able to close up above. That's what we talked about in the live trading room this morning. That's what we were watching for and waiting for. I said when we come back from break, this market may look different. Because when I left to go on break at 11:30 Eastern, price was right here in the weekly trading zone. When I got back, it was here. And by the time we got into the radio program, it was here. Okay? So, again, on a break of the swing high, we look to go to the next logical spot, which is a weekly trading zone and where we sent out a tweet on Sunday night to be short below 78 and to add to the position below 75. Took us all the way down two zones. We spent 1 2 hours, 2.5 arguably, consolidating at this zone on the way down. Hit this zone to the tick, rallied overnight, spent 1 2 2.5 hours arguably getting back through the zone. So there's been plenty of consolidation here, but it looks as though the market wants to come back and test this area again. If it does, okay, if it comes all the way back, we would expect it to be good support. How would you know if that support is failing you? Because then you'll see a close below 61. Or if you're on a smaller time frame, you'll see some meaningful trading action below 61. We may not come all the way back to test it. This candle here could find support. See, right now you're challenging the low of 2 hours ago. Okay. Is that meaningful? On an hourly chart, yes. Okay. These intraday support and resistance levels that are created dynamically, okay, as the market is moving, all those are always going to be important. There's support here. The market, this wick is evidence that the market tried to push back down into the zone, but buyers held it up. They not only held it up, they pushed it up. But they couldn't get it above 68.5. So now we've come back to test the low 2 hours ago. Below us, good support at 61.62. Now, if that were to get taken out, okay, let's say that, you know, whatever series of events leads to it, nobody wants to buy anymore. Everybody starts to sell. Whatever it is that causes it, if this support fails, where do you look? You always look left. Right there. Right there. And then the zone. Support, the zone. Okay? Markets demystified. If we break here above 70, consider being long above 70, you got 5 points between that tweet and the zone. Okay? So if you want to give yourself a point of cushion on either side, in other words, a point to make sure the market's serious about going there, and then get out a point before we get there in case the market doesn't have enough strength to get all the way to 75, well, that still leaves 2 to 3 points to be scooped out of the middle. Okay? From the tweet to the zone is 5 points, if that's the way the market goes, and that's what the tweet says. Consider being long above 1570 if the opportunity presents. Okay? So far, the opportunity has not presented. Okay, so now what if we come back here and we find support at 61.62? Does that mean we have to then wait for the market to break 70 before we can get into a trade? No, it doesn't. But until price pulls back, and until price shows me how it's going to behave here, I can't put out a price at a I can't put out a trade for you or a tweet until I see what's going to happen. Now, I could say, consider buying 1561.62 on a limit, okay? Because it's a zone, because it was good resistance, it should become good support. That's one way to trade it. But I don't really want to leave you with that type of a trade idea. I would suggest, now if you want to trade that, you're certainly welcome to, and I certainly believe that this will be good support. But since you have so much room between the zones here, 62 to 75, I mean from zone to zone, there's 13 points here. Why not let it come back, find good support, and then once it starts that journey north, catch it on a pullback, and then ride it. Or catch it as it breaks some minor swing high coming up out of the zone. I would rather see you trade it that way. If you have any questions, send them to me, support@cfrn.net. Love to see you in the live trading room. If you've never taken our free trial, please do so. cfrn.net/apply. If your free trial is about to expire or has already expired, you should have an email in your inbox that tells you how to become a partner. Sometimes these emails, they end up the same place as your socks, that black hole in the universe where you just can't find them. If that's the case and you need to know how to become a partner, send an email to support@cfrn.net. In the subject line, how do I become a partner? We'll send you the information. We'll make sure you get your paperwork done and you're in the partners meeting Thursday night. Remember, we have a saying around here, no trader left behind. If you want to learn how to trade and you're serious about learning how to trade, there's no obstacle in your path. We'll find a way. Let us know how serious you are. support@cfrn.net. That's it. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.